to look at the Haggadah, Be'ezus Hashem. We start with the Arba Kaisis. In the Arba Kaisis, I have a couple of different reasons for it. The most famous, and the Gro doesn't even agree exactly, so Tzeisi, V'Tzalti, V'Galti, V'Lakachti, Kenegid Arba, the Shainus of Geula. The notion of a kais, where does the notion of kais come from? Kaisal bracha, where does it come from? So there's a very interesting statement in the Shiltis and Parshas Yisro tells us that the Indian of kaisal bracha comes from the halach of En Shira El Ala Yayin. In the Beis Hamikdash, Shira had to be together with Yayin. The Indian of kaisal bracha is modeled after the din Shira. So that means the notion of a kais is always Shira. To sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch. And that's really the essence of what the Seder is. The essence of the Seder is to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For all that he did for us, particularly in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not only in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but particularly in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's the focus of the Seder. So we have four cases. Four times we raise the coast to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this notion of Shira is something which goes really throughout the entire Haggadah. We'll come to the beginning of the Haggadah. We have a machloikus of three Tanoim. How many makas were there in Mitzrayim and how many makas were there al Hayam? So we have a mandiyom of, it's a multiple of five, that we know, because one it says etzba and one it says yot. So it's a multiple of five. So the first man, the Omer, is Pashtusa. There were 10 in Mitzrayim, there were 50. Alayam, simple. The second man, the Omer, says each one was comprised, each makkah was comprised of four aspects. So there are really 40 makkahs in the Mitzrayim, and consequently 200 alayam. And then Rabbi Akiva says each makkah was comprised of five parts, and therefore there were 50 and 250. And the shaila is, what is this machlokes about? I mean, it has no ramifications in anything that's halacha l'maisa. It's not coming back again, so what are they arguing for? I mean, Shas, we saw that the Gemara Numa, the Gemara raises the problem. Like, you know, to talk about what took place at the time of the Meluim, if it's pshat and a posik, mameila, but here it's not particularly pshat and a posik. It says etzban yad. So what's the argument? And whatever it may be, why does it take a prominent place in the Haggadah altogether? What's the point? So in Cheder, what they teach in Cheder is that in Parshas Shalach it says, "Kol amachlo asher samdi b'Mitzrayim lo'osim alecho ki ani Hashem roifecho." That the Rabbanu Shlomo says, all the afflictions that I brought upon the Egyptians will not affect you. And Memela, we want to be marba as many afflictions as possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed upon the Mitzrim, so that we will feel that we are spared from them. That's what they teach in Cheder. I mean, I'm not happy with the pshat. It's an interesting pshat, but to say that there's pshat in the Haggadah and why it's in the Haggadah, that's not the theme. L'chayr of the night of the Seder. So I think the theme is something else. As I said, the essence of the night of Pesach is Haidah, Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. That's the whole story, from beginning until end. Mameila. Each nest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me, I have to sing his praises. Right? A person that's zoicha to one nest, and he comes back to that place, he has to say, Sha'osali nest, b'mokom hazeh. For one nest, I have to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of my lifetime. And maybe my descendants after me have to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that their ancestor was zeicha to a nes in this place. For one nes. Each nes demands haidah of HaKadosh, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, how much haidah will mechuyev? The first man almost is for 10 and 50, the second for 40 and 200, the third for 50 and 250. Each nes magnifies the level of the haidah that we have to give. So that's what the Tanaim are arguing about. What is the requisite amount of Haidah that we have to give? For what Nisan do we have to give Haidah on the night of the Seder? And this also follows through. It's one of my pet peeves that we have the most famous song of the Seder, without any doubt, is Dayenu. I mean, any Jew that has any connection this much with the tradition, right, knows Dayenu, right? They put it on the radio. Everyone knows the song. So how do we translate Dayenu? It would be enough. So I asked myself once, what do I mean it would be enough? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Har Sinai and hadn't given us the Torah, that would be enough? Our whole essence is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us the Torah, so how could we say it would have been enough? Okay, there's a different kasha that the world asks. What did we gain from coming to Har Sinai? That's not my question. But how could we say it would have sufficed? It wouldn't have sufficed. The whole world was created, Chazal Bereishis Bara Elokim, the world was created for what purpose? For Torah. So I came to Har Sinai, and it would have sufficed that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't give me the Torah. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam said otherwise. How could I make the statement? But the pshat is, there's a little bit, it would have sufficed, it's true, but there's a little phrase that's left out in that translation. It would have sufficed to obligate me to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give Shir of HaHidah. Of course, we needed to receive the Torah. And we needed to go to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash and do the mitzvahs HaTorah. That all had to be. But each step along the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, that was sufficient reason that I should have to recite a dot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for any one. There's 15 nisim that are mentioned in Dayenu. For any one of those, each of those 15 nisim is mechayev us in Hidah and Shir. We have the third kois is Birchas HaMazon. So the question is, how does this relate to the Shira of the night of Pesach? It's nice, we have Birchas HaMazon, we have a kois for Birchas HaMazon, but how does this relate? How does this relate to the Shira, which is part and parcel of the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? And I think it's a little bit lame to say, because there's one phrase of Disonim Bebeis Avodim in the whole, right, in the whole Birchas HaMazon, that Mamela, this is praise for Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's one of the elements of a much broader praise. But the notion of Shira does two things. The notion of Shira obligates me in terms of everything that came forth from the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam took me out of Mitzrayim. So what happened because of that? Because of that, we came to Eretz Yisrael. Because of that, we built the Beis HaMikdash. Because of that, we served HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Mitzvahs at Luyos Baruch. So all of that is part and parcel of what came forth from the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim started a particular process. That's true. But it did not end with that. All types of things happened in Jewish history after that, which flowed from that particular ness. When I thank for a ness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me, it's not enough just to thank for what the past was, but I have to thank for everything that came from that particular ness. But that's also still not enough. Where do we start the darshan on the night of the Seder, right? The real essence of the Haggadah somehow got lost in translation with us. The schools got all busy with the introduction to the Haggadah. But what's the essence of the Haggadah? It's Arami Yovidovi, it says. We have to darshan Arami Yovidovi, and there's a whole long. And that part, not in school, and not at the Seder, chick-chack, you know. It doesn't have the cute little vertloch, you know, that we used to. But that's the essence of the Seder. Now, why is the essence of the Seder Rami Ovid Ovi? What are we going into? Because when we trace, we give Haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to go back all the way to the very beginnings of everything which brought us to this moment. What brought us to this moment is Rami Ovid Ovi, that Lovon Bikish Lakar Esakoyl. And what happened? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and preserved the Jewish people. So we would not have come to Yetzias Mitzrayim if not for the fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam intervened at Arami Ovid Ovi. So we have to go all the way back to trace the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam back to the very beginning, back to where it started. It started at Arami Ovid Ovi. So we have to, Haidah then, is to stand at this moment, see all the antecedents which brought me to here, And then to see all the repercussions which came from this particular moment into the future. And when I give a door to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it has to be the entire sweep. So I can't only give praise for Yetzias Mitzrayim. I have to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the antecedents, all the way from Arami Ovid Ovi, which brought me to this day, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened to save Yaakov Avinu, and how the repercussions came from it, that we came forth, we came to Eretz Yisrael, we built the Beis HaMikdash. All of this has to be included in the Haidah that we give to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That Haidah is in two dimensions, and I've mentioned this many times, and there are many points in the Haggadah which point in this direction. When we left Mitzrayim, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hotziyacha asa'am, tavdun asalokim alahor hazeh." You'll serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on this mountain. So, we're leaving Mitzrayim, is the physical exodus, and where we headed, we're headed to our Sinai of tavdun asalokim alahor hazeh. So these are the twin aspects of the Geula. It is the physical Geula, physical redemption. And we understand physical redemption very, very well, unfortunately, in Jewish history. How many times we've needed to be redeemed. We culminate tzoros that have come our way across all the generations and all the continents in the world. But beyond that, we also know something else. The existential struggle to maintain a Jewish identity, to maintain our fidelity to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah and to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. This has been one of the great struggles of Jewish history, and it has existed side by side with the existential struggle for physical existence. And the times in history, the existential struggle for physical existence is overshadowed the struggle for spiritual existence. And we have repeated periods in Jewish history where, in a spiritual sense, we are weak. And then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grants us the Siyata Dishmaya, that we rebound spiritually, and we are on the upswing as Torah becomes stronger in our community, as more people become adherents to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. Process that we saw in the 20th century very, very clearly. As the 19th century closes, the persecutions in Tsarist Russia from 1890 to 1910. There were 6 million Jews in Russia in 1850. From 1890 to 1910, 1.9 million Jews emigrate from Russia to the United States. The crescendo of anti-Semitism and pogroms orchestrated by the Tsar reaches such a level that this huge mass exodus of Jews from Russia to the United States. That's a struggle for existence, physical existence. It did not carry with it the tools and the readiness for the great masses for spiritual survival. And this was a process which went on throughout up until the Second World War, and we're threatened by communism, Nazism, Yimach Shemom V'Zichrom. And it's only after the Second World War that we slowly begin to regain our spiritual bearings. And we see a tremendous explosion in the last 50 years of the growth of Torah in our community here in Eretz Yisrael, throughout the world, of a scale and proportions that nobody saw. In 1960, nobody saw it happening. In 1960, all the naysayers said, Orthodoxy is doomed. That's gone, you know. Conservative and reform, that's the future of the Jewish people. Nobody's interested in Orthodoxy anymore. And all of a sudden, starting in the 1970s, this unbelievable explosion. It catches fire, and it gains greater and greater force as the years go on. That's the spiritual existence of Klal Yisrael.
More Jews in that time than there are today.
More Jews
1800s, beginning of
the 19th. May have been. If the estimate, the estimate, we don't know for sure. It's estimated that at the eve of the Second World War, there were 18 million Jews in the world. Now, you go back, for example, if you go back, turn the clock back to the mid-17th century, the estimate is that there were 2.5 million Jews in the world. So we have between then and the next, 250 years, this phenomenal growth in the Jewish community, tremendous growth, and then the Holocaust, and we're still not back to the pre-Holocaust number. We're still lower than we were before the number of Jews in the world before the Holocaust, as far as we know at the moment. It's from the best information that I have. But I say these are all estimates because nothing was exactly precise. In the Haggadah we find it. We find the Machlokes, the Mishnah says, Maschil b'gnusa m'sayim b'shevach. We start with the degradation of Klal Yisrael, and we end with our triumph. So there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. What is this? One man, the Omer, says it's avodah mayinu lefarah b'mitzrayim. That's the degradation. And the triumph is vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu misham. The Rabbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. The other man, the Omer, tells us that our forefathers were Oivdei Avodah Zorah, and that's the triumph of Klal Yisrael. And our Haggadah, in fact, includes both. Both are included in the Haggadah. Why are both included in the Haggadah? Because as Rav Sarna Zatzal said when I was at the Seder with him, was one of the only things that he said, Gula and Klal Yisrael is two notions. It's physical survival and it's spiritual survival. Only when we link both of those together have we actually touched what Gula and Klal Yisrael is. It's not one without the other. That is, we find at many points that these two things are linked. We have in the Brocha Asher Ga'olonu, so it ends, Al Gula Seinu, Al Padus Nafsheinu, Brocha Ta Hashem Gal Yisrael. That the Tziv, in his commentary on the Haggadah, Imre Shefer, is troubled that this is incorrect. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that the way you end the bracha is Mayin Chasima Samach L'Chasima. You have to have the last phrase of the bracha is the lead-in to the bracha. So we have all the way in almost all the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, right? Ki goyel chazakot, baruch ato Hashem, goyel Yisrael, ki kiel melech rofei neman v'racham anato, baruch ato Hashem, roifei chayli amo Yisrael. So here we have, it should have set up with Dusan Avshenu v'ogul Aseinu, baruch ato Hashem, goyel Yisrael. And he does not answer, and the Tziv leaves this as an open question. The Ramban, in his preface to Chumash Shmos, tells us the following. That what is Sefer Shmos? Sefer Shmos, he says, is the Sefer of the Golus and the Gula. That's what the Sefer is about. Now, if you take that standpoint, you can fetch it, if you want, till the end of Parshas Mishpotim. Good, you have to come to Har Sinai, that's the final step, fine. So well, what do you do with the whole story of the Mishkan, the second half of Chumash Shmos? So the Ramban tells us the following, is that we are not considered Geulim, we are not considered as having been redeemed from Mitzrayim until we return on Maila Savosim, until the Maila of the Obus. And when we return to the Maila of the Obus, Oz Nechshavu Geulim, then we are considered redeemed. And he says, when do we return to the Maila of the Ovis? That's when we zoicha, that we had the Shechina in our midst, after the Mishkan is built, and the Shechina rests in the Mishkan, then we return to the Maila of the Ovis, that they had this close interface with the Shechina, and Oz Nechshivu Geulim, that's when we consider redeemed. That's what the Ramban writes. So based on the Ramban, we could say, interpret the Brocha in the following fashion. Our Gula Seinu was the physical Geula, but that's not enough. We're not Nechshav Gulim yet, our Pedus Nafshenu, that when we come to Pedus Nafshenu, that the Nefesh is also redeemed, then Oz Nechshavu Ge'ulam. That's the completion of the process of Ge'ulam. So therefore it actually is Me'ein Chasima Somach LeChasima. The phrase Apedus Nafshenu is the final step in Ge'ulam. And therefore it's appropriate that we end with Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. So this is one of the major themes. One of the major themes of the Haggadah is that Ge'ulah is physical and Ge'ulah is spiritual as well. And one without the other, we've missed the boat. Now perhaps, if you look at the Seder, what's the second half of the Seder about? The second half of the Seder begins, Shvoich HaMos, Chalagoyim, Mashalo, Yedauch, Abam, Lochos, etc. The second half of the Seder, Lidaiti, this Chazal of Taurus in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Benisan Nigalu, or Benisan Asidin Ligal. In Nisan we were redeemed, and Nisan we will be redeemed. The second half of the Seder is Benisan Asidin Ligal. And therefore we begin the second half of the Seder, Shvoich HaMos, Chalagoyim, Mashalo, Yedaucha. How do we end? Yivne Beis HaMakarov. Right, the Migdash should be rebuilt soon. We end with the Chadgadia. The Chadgadia has been interpreted to mean the whole flow of Jewish history until Mashiach Tzidkenu comes. So that's the whole second half of the Seder. So the second half of the Seder again comes back to those two twin themes. It comes back to the Geula, the physical redemption of Klal Yisrael. And it comes back to the spiritual redemption of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what I've pointed out many times. Chassam Sofer writes in Yirmiyahu, in the Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it says the following. First it writes, Rushavu Me'eretz Oyev. And then it writes in the next pasuk, "Shavu vonim legvulam." So I told this interpretation to my brother-in-law, Rick Kleinman, and he says that in Eretz Yisrael they say it really comes from a Zohar, that this is the Zohar's interpretation of these psukim. And the Chassam Sofer writes in his drashas, "Shavu me'eretz oyev," that we'll return from the land of our enemies, that there'll be a huge ingathering of Klal Yisrael al Admas HaKodesh before Mashiach Tzidkenu comes. And yet, what will be lacking? What will be lacking is the Gvul HaKdusha, the Migdash will be lacking. And that's for Shavu Vonim LeGvulam. Eventually, we will be Zeicha to rebuild the Beis HaMigdash too. And I'm astounded when I see this Chassam Sofer. The Ruach HaKodesh, upon which this is based, perhaps I said, as my brother-in-law said, it stems ultimately from a Zohar, but the Ruach HaKodesh that's inherent in this Chazal, in 1840, there was no notion of Zionism that existed in the world. Nobody was thinking of going to Eretz Yisrael. A few Talmidim at Abesht, and a few Talmidim at Agron, a few Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. But that was it. That there was a notion we're going to build Eretz Yisrael. That does not exist until the 1880s, till Rothschild starts financing colonies in Eretz Yisrael, the first colonies that were Rothschild built. And here the Chassam Sofer, who died in 1840, is telling us, based on a Rambam in the first parak in Sanhedrin, in the parish of Mishnayos, that there's going to be a huge ingathering of Jews before Mashiach Tzidkenu comes. And we're going to await, Alad Mas HaKodesh, this gathering of Jews is going to await for Shavu Vonim LeGvulam, that will be restored to the Gvul of Kedusha. That we be restored to the Beis HaMikdash. So again, the two aspects, for Shavu Me'eretz Oyev, to leave foreign domination behind, and yet still long for the spiritual redemption that the Beis HaMikdash will bring. So this is the second half of the Seder. So these are the themes of the Seder throughout. Thank you. I want to look a little bit at some of the parts of the Haggadah that we talked about, its overarching themes. I want to look a little bit at some parts of the Haggadah. We have in the Haggadah a discussion, a machlekes, maskiran yitzias mitzrayim, balayla isarat. So, Chazal tell us that we didn't know that it had to be balayla isarat darsha ben zayma until ben zayma came along, and ben zayma darshaned that it says kol yimei chayecho is l'rabbi salaylis. This is a very, very nice machloikis, and it's a machloikis, and it's a Mishnah on the first Perek and Brochus. The only problem is it doesn't have anything to do with Pesach. It has to do with, we have a mitzvah that we are fulfilled two times a day, of maskir and yitzias mitzrayim balaylis, that we have maskir yitzias mitzrayim in the morning, and we're maskir yitzias mitzrayim at night. So that's what it has to do with. This has nothing to do with the night of the Seder when we have a particular mitzvah of the Gata Levincha by Yom HaHuleimar. So what's this all about? Why in the world is this? It's a nice piece. It touches the idea of Maskir and Tzias Mitzrayim. But why is it in the Haggadah? Now the question is, the outstanding question, we have a mitzvah of the Gata Levincha by Yom HaHuleimar. Right? And as the Haggadah says, Bavu Zelo Amarti, El Bashoshi Yes, Matzomor, Menochon Lefanecha, Pesach Matzomor, different texts. But this is the mitzvah of the night of Pesach. So now the Shaila is, what is this, how is this distinct from the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which we have at every single night of the year, every single day of the year? So we might have said, the answer is that the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim is every morning. And the one time a year we have it at night is on the night of Pesach. And that's the difference. That's to be got to Levincha Bayom Ahuz. On the night of the Seder, is then we have to recite concerning Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now we even find in the... there is a statement of Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz says, when we said Zecha L'Tzias Mitzrayim and Kiddush, we're already Yoytze Mitzvahs Magid already. Yoytze Mitzvahs Magid with the statement of Zecha L'Tzias Mitzrayim. The rest is called Amar V'Reis of a Shubach. So, but now that we came and we said that Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelis, I have to recite it at night too. So now I have a Shiloh. So then Vaita. So then what's the difference between Magid and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? They're both at night. So what's the difference between them? So if you open up to the Rambam in Perek Zayin, so the Rambam tells us there's a whole tzettel, there's a whole list of things. Someone want to bring the Rambam, please? Rambam Perek Zmanim, Chelek Beis, please. Mitzvahs asay shall tire the Rambam says the saper benisim and vloy shenasel abasinim and mitzrayim balei chamisha also benisim. Uminayin shall balei chamisha also Talmud loymar. We got to the vincha by Yehuma who leimah bavuzeb shoshi ishmatzu moram munochem lefarecha. Va'afapi she'ein lo ben. It says we got to the vincha even if you don't have a child. Even you don't have a child and you're the greatest chacham, your name is Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi Akiva stayed up the whole night. And he used Dervish Sabri Yitzias Mitzrayim until the Talmidim came and told him the night is over. That took place, Hareza Meshubach. Mitzvah Lahodi Alabonim. It's a mitzvah to teach the children, even if they don't ask. In other words, it's not dependent on Ki Yisholcha, Shnemar V'gata L'Vincha. One pasuk says ki yisholcha vincha when he asks. So it says we got to the vincha. Tell him even if he doesn't ask. Now if he died to shaber aviv melamda, according to the seichel, the maturity of the child, the father teaches him ketzer. And by a kotno tipish, if he's very young or he's foolish, so in their society they were still avodim. We were all enslaved, like this slave. And Hashem made us free, so that they can relate to. If he's older and he's wise, do we talk about everything that took place in Mitzrayim? Everything according to the das of the child. We have to do things which are unusual on this night. So when it says ki yishalcha, we have to arouse the children and motivate them to ask. We'll engage them in the process by doing things that are unusual, and therefore I'll be in get in the mood to ask questions. Like, so you know, we're doing strange things tonight. What's this all about? We give them nuts, candies, and they took out the table. We take the matzahs away before the meal. I mean, what are you taking the matzahs off? You have to have a sudas yontif. Where are the matzahs going? Or we cover them up. And the Gemara says they grab the matzahs one from the other. Different perushim what that means. And similar such things. Come back to this. Ein lo ben. If you don't have a son, is ishto shayal osim. Your wife should ask the questions. Ein lo isha, person that's without his wife, shayal in zeh zeh. The participants in the seder should ask each other, manashtana halayla hazeh. Kulu hayu kulon chachamim, kulon chachamim, even if they were all chachamim, so they should ask each other, even though they all know the answers already. Hayu levadoi, a person nebuch that wound up by himself in the night of the seder, shayal atzmal, manashtana halayla hazeh. Bitzorach lahaschel begnus. And he has to begin with the degradation. Ulesayim b'shevach keitzad maschel u'masabah shabetchilo hayav asinu b'mei terach and with the fun of koyfrim that we were koyfrim. Mamish oivdei avodah zara terach. We toyin achara hevel. We roit v'nachar avodah zara. We were just not passive adherents to the local avodah zara. We were fanatics about it. Terach takes his own son and turns him over to the king to get him killed. I mean, he was a fanatic about avodah zara. And we end that we reach what's true. The Rabbanu Shalom separated us from the ones that have erred in the world, and he brought us into a unique relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. And then we go back and we talk about that we were enslaved. All the nisim and our redemption. How do we do this? Which dwells on every single aspect of what took place in Yitzias Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, in Tzias Mitzrayim. The more time we spend on this, the better. Then he goes on to the following. I just want to give the sweep, then we'll go into some of the details. Person that has not noted the following three things in the night of Chamisha Osala Yotzi Yidei Chavosav Elohim Pesach Matzil Mor Pesach Hashem Shaposach Hamokam Baruch Obote Avosinu B'Mitzrayim. He jumped over a house Shanema V'Azah Martim Zevach Pesach Ul Hashem B'Roiro Hashem Shemoru Amitzu Meschayei Avosinu B'Mitzrayim Matzah Hashem Shenigalu. That's the sign of the Gula. Now listen to what the Rambam says. This whole set that I gave you, this five halachas of the Rambam that we read until now, kulon hein nekroim hagodah. That's what's called hagodah. It's all this whole story that I just read to you, five halachas in the Rambam. All of this is what's meant by hagodah. So this is where we come to. We said the following, that we might have said that it's enough to say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim to be Yoytzi, but then how is it going to be different than what we do every night of the year? So perforce we have to come to say that which the Rambam says, and that's what most Shitas Sachroinim in fact embrace, the Shitas of Rambam, that Magid means we give a broad exploration. It's not just a narrow mentioning. A narrow mentioning is enough twice a day. We mention that which has taken place. But other than that, we have to, on the night of Pesach, we have to mention a whole broad story. All of these aspects that the Rambam has said. And it's very interesting because the Rambam is telling us it's not only, we think when the Mishnah, the Gemara says in Arim Tzachim that what we should do is we should do things to arouse the interests of the children. So we think, well, that's, you know, it's nice educational philosophy. You know, the first thing you learn in education is what's the first aspect of the lesson. The first aspect of the lesson in education is what's the motivation. Right, so you need different motivations to get the things which attract the attention, which attract the attention. Push that yellow pen a little closer. Yeah, that's what we need. But the Brahman says, no, this is not just educational theory. It's good educational theory, but that's not what it is. The Torah said, Ki yish'ol chavincha. If the Torah said, Ki yish'ol chavincha, how are we going to bring that about? So we have to take steps to bring about if the child is not swift enough to ask on his own, or realize he should ask on his own. So we take steps which arouses interest and arouses curiosity, so that it will come to Ki yish'ol chavincha. And the necessity of a question and answer format. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't have a question and answer format. We say one pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and that's it. It's all over, finished. That's the beginning and end of the story. Here it has to have question and answer format. Why? Because it's more striking. When I ask a question, and I'm troubled by a question, and I let the question sink in, and then I find the search, and I find an answer to my question, that's a lot more meaningful experience. Because the night of the Seder, ultimately, is not, per se, an intellectual experience. It is intellectual, but it's not. Its ultimate root is not an intellectual experience. And the Vilna Gaon makes this point very, very clearly. There is a Tosefta, which is quoted by the Tor. The Tosefta says that one of the things you can do on the night of Pesach is to study the halachas of Pesach. So the Gaon crosses out this Tosefta. He says there's no such Tosefta. This text of the Tosefta is mistaken. Yeah, the halachas have their place. Of course you have to learn the halachas. There was no greater interpreter of the halachas than the Vilna Gaon. But the night of the Seder is not a night of halachas. That's not what the Seder is. Yeah, we have to be Mekayim Halachas. But what we're out to do with the Seder is not the study of the Halacha. We're out to study the depths of our interface, of our connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And what does the Haggadah tell us? Chayev Adam, we have Lirois Atzmai, Kilu Hu Yotza Mitzrayim, because the Pasuk says, Bosonu Hoitzi Misham. We have to view ourselves as if we went out of Mitzrayim. In other words, to place ourselves in that framework, this is not just what happened to my grandfather, my great-great-great-great-grandfather 8 generations ago, no. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's impact is upon me as if I was the generation that went out of Mitzrayim. The Rambam even goes further than that. Because the Rambam writes, what we have to have is the Haris is Atzma, is something which exists internally within the person, totally internally. That's the way I feel. The Haris means I feel it so strongly that it's manifest outwardly. a person, the come and tell a person, listen, double grandpa, you just won $100 million in the lottery. Good, he's going to be Sameach. But we're all going to know that there's a simcha in his life. You know, it's going to ooze out of every pore of his being that something significant happened in his life that he's happy about. That's what we're going to see. And Mameyla. So that's it. Listen, the next ticket, $100 million. So a person that experiences a great simcha, it's not only that he feels it internally, but you see it externally. Just look at his face, and you know that something significant has happened in his life. To say there is to experience that connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom to such an extent, the Rama says, that you look at the person, he's beaming, something phenomenal has happened in his life. And we have this notion that the text of the Haggadah is we have v'noyma lefon of Shira Chadosha. We will say a Shira Chadosha, and then we begin the halos. There are those, in fact, the Chofetz Chaim, who question this statement. It should say v'nema lefon of, that they said in the past tense a Shira Chadosha. Why should it say v'noyma lefon of Shira Chadosha, that we will say? So the Brisker Rav writes that v'noyma lefon of is correct, because the Ran tells us in Arvei Psochem that we have two models of Hallel. There's the model of Hallel that we recite in the daytime, and that's the model of Hallel that we make a bracha on, and then there's the model that we say B'Leil HaSeder, and that is the experience of Chayav Adam Liros HaSatzmo Kilo Hu Yotzom Mitzrayim. I'm not saying Hallel to tell you, well, my great-great-grandfather was saved and he said Hallel on this day. No. We have to experience the fact that we were saved. I was saved. And that's why I'm saying Hallel today. That's what we need to do. So consequently, it's V'noy Malafonov. We're saying Hallel on what's happened to us, that we were saved. So we're not just a recitation. Well, my forefather said it, so I'm repeating what my forefather said. No, there's a dimension that I am the nigel. I'm the one that was redeemed. A certain dimension of that. Now, by added to the Ran, so what's the pshat? So sof kol sof, why don't you make a brocha? The Brisker Rav says, that's why you don't make a brocha. And that's what the Ran is out to explain, why there's no brocha. So I said, the pshat is, there's another step to this. And that is, when we recite Hallel, the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin says that each time that we say Hallel, this is the Takonah, Chazal and Masak, in 21 days we say Hallel, 18 days we say Hallel, Chutz Lord, Eretz Yisrael, etc. So those are the days there's a Takonah to say Hallel. So therefore we can make the Brocha, Asher Kedishonu Mitzayisav Vitzivonu. Where's the Vitzivonu? So the Gemara says, Vitzivonu is that we were commanded to listen to the Chachamim in Leisosar, and the Chachamim told us that we have to say Hallel. So therefore that's Asher Gishon B'Soyso B'Tzivon, we have to say Hallel. However, the Gemara says in Kuf Yud Zayin that our called Torah Shaloi Tovu, anytime there's a Devim Shebereim articulated, that whenever there's a Torah which afflicts Klal Yisrael and we're saved from it, we're supposed to say Hallel. But that's not per se a takana. That is a statement of halacha. Halachically, a person is, he was saved, so what do you do if you're saved? You give a daughter to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So on the certain Klal Yisrael was saved, we say Hallel. But there was no takana to that. The people that went out of Mitzrayim, they said Hallel, not because there was a takona to say Hallel. There was no takona. When you're saved, you say Hallel. That's the way a Jew reacts. And therefore, you can't make a bracha on that, because that is not something, that is when there's a formal takona to say, like there isn't the 18 times or the 21 times you say in the daytime, then shayach a bracha. But this is a spontaneous response. I was saved, so what do I do when I'm saved? I say hello. So that's not shayach to make a brocha on that. And therefore, that's the reason that we don't make a brocha. Is so. Pesach is experiential, the Seder. It's not only what took place in the past. It's a statement of the present and a statement of the future. It's the very essence of what Klal Yisrael is. I don't think there's no other yontif which so directly expresses the essence of Klal Yisrael, what we're about, our experiences, how the Rabbeinu Shalom has stood by us, how the Rabbeinu Shalom has brought us back from the most difficult of circumstances. All of that, is what we talk about. There are other things, the other Yom Tovim they have to do. Listen, obviously, Matan Torah, without the Torah, we're nothing. We don't exist. And Sukkot is also to a certain extent, Sukkot is tied to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says so. But it's not to this exhaustive extent of Chayav Odom Liras as Atzmo, that we put ourselves into the situation as if I were the one being redeemed from Mitzrayim today. So Pesach is that ultimate experience. It's the experience of every aspect of what Klal Yisrael is. It's the experience of Maseiros. L'mantisaper boz nevincho ben vincho is asher salalti mitzrayim. The Torah specifically tells us that this is when we're going to deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's going to be with children and grandchildren. Maseiros. Right? You come and you'll tell your grandchild that when I was a child, I was at my grandfather's Seder. And this is what was said. And my grandfather told me that when he was at his grandfather's Seder, this is what took place. So Shoshalas Hadoris, the connection of Dor Achador, of the Maseiros of Klal Yisrael, of the experiences of Klal Yisrael, of the Geula of Klal Yisrael, of the suffering and the redemption of Klal Yisrael. All of this is part and parcel of the Seder. It's an experiential happening. That's why it's to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the essence, and that's the power and the magic of what Pesach is. It's everything is different about it. Without the entire circumstances around us being different, we would never feel ultimately the differences. It is so radically different than what we do the whole year. Right? Everything, the food is different, the pots are different, the kitchen is different, the dishes are different, the whole setting. It's a whole different setting. And why? And I've always felt that what's the statement of Pesach? So we know in our world, in our lifetime, we've experienced and continue to experience that there's a notion of Balei Tshuva. So people grew up and were non-frum, they decided to become frum. So what do you have to do? One of the first things, if you really want to become frum, is you have to kosherize your house. So you get some chevret to come, and they kosher the house for you. Whatever, they go through the kitchen, they kosherize everything, they kosherize all the pots, what they can't kosherize, they throw out, and whatever. This is nothing strange. You know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, this is a rarity. But in our lifetime, this was meisim b'chol yom. This is not odd to any of us. So we say, no, Baal Tshuva. He became frum, and Ramela, everything in his house is treif, so he has to redo the whole thing. So you know what the Rabbeinu Shalom says to us? The Rabbeinu Shalom says to us, in effect, what the Gera Rebbe said. A young bocher came from the United States, and he went into the Gera Rebbe, I think the Imre Emes, and he told him, Rebbe, Chminish Kem Baal Tshuva, I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So what was the Gera Rebbe's retort? He says, why not? Every one of us should be a Baal Tshuva. Pesach comes, the Rabbeinu Shalom tells us, it's very nice, you served me until now. You were busy with me, you did my mitzvahs. But vis-a-vis what you have to do, in the next page, you were total Baal Tshuva, it's all treif. The food is treif, and the dishes are treif, and the kitchen is treif. Start from scratch. Throw it all out. Get rid of the food is treif, the dishes are treif, the sink is treif, the stove is treif. It's all treif. Kasher the whole place. It's a totally new start. Whatever you did until now, matoiv manoim. But vis-a-vis the responsibilities that we have in the future, it's all treif. So when we come the night of the Seder, we come to the Seder and everything, the house glistens. Why? Because after you kasher a place, it glistens. That's the way it is. You know, you went to a health-related facility once, and the chevra come before Pesach for 2 days, and they kasher a place. It's a glatt kosher place. All the kitchen workers, there are no kitchen workers that are Jewish. Most of them are Hispanics. And they look at the place, they look at what the team of rabbis that came in to kosherize the place. He says, you know, we should get these guys to come a few times a year, especially before the government comes. We've got to clean the place up. The place is never so clean as when they finish, you know. There's not a scintilla of dirt left in the place. They blew it all away.